Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
NCAA championships, NCAA advancements, and NCAA disappointments. We'll cover it all here today on the Gym Class in the next hour. Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann today. Our leader, Scott Unash, taking a couple days off. I know he got in a mere 27 holes tomorrow, and I'm sure he's out on the course again today in Southern Port. He'll be back on Wednesday and look forward to his return. Wow, Kyle, what a weekend and so much to get to.
Yeah, no kidding. Crazy weekend. I always know how busy a weekend was by I gotta put big boards together every Monday. And you know, normally there's a lot, but I actually have things that aren't gonna make it on the big board today. Just crazy. Crazy weekend.
In basketball, the Iowa women's basketball team is the only one pending Iowa State's outcome tonight in its game against Missouri State, which we'll have here on 1600 AM at 8 o'clock. The Iowa women with a 68-52 victory over Missouri to reach the Sweet 16 of the NCAA Women's Tournament. And I know a lot of folks want to talk about that men's game against Tennessee yesterday, and we'll spend a lot of time on that. But I felt it only fair to acknowledge this Iowa women's basketball team. I talked to friends of mine who just marveled at Megan Gustafson again, whether it was the first time they saw her or multiple times. Gustafson had 24 points, 19 rebounds, and just got the hell beat out of her, really. And I think she took a blow to the mouth a couple times or the face. And teams have had wanted to do that all season long, and game after game after game. Career-wise, 87 double-doubles, and has just carried this basketball team to the Sweet 16. Next game Saturday in Greensboro, North Carolina, against the winner of tonight's game between North Carolina State and Kentucky. Kudos to the Iowa fans, over 12,000 folks at Carver Hawkeye Arena yesterday. That was the announced crowd, and I believe every bit of that. But this is a generational team, Kyle, I really think, and I don't know we'll see the likes of it all too soon.
Yeah, I you're exactly right, because, you know, Iowa's had good teams. You know, they were in the Sweet 16. You know, this is the seventh trip in program history. They were there just in 2014, 2015. So, the concept of Iowa having a good team is nothing new. But the idea of this particular team being generational, I think there's no argument. Because you look at a player like Megan Gustafson, those 19 rebounds she got in that game make her the Big Ten's all-time leading rebounder. You know, this isn't just a good player at Iowa we're seeing. It is the best Iowa basketball player we've ever seen, but this is a Big Ten, like, big time name. Definitely a generational squad led by Megan Gustafson there.
Yeah, and it's not over. Iowa, the number two seed, will face either the number three or six seed in that next round. So there's a chance to go to even greater heights. And if you were at the game yesterday, love to hear from you. 319-366-1600 is our Hertine and Stocker Jeweler text line. But there was a great send-off for Gustafson, Hannah Stewart, Tania Davis, who officially played their last game in Carver Hawkeye Arena. And there's a lot of love shown, that's for sure.
Yep, and those seniors finishing up their careers at Iowa, they were undefeated at home this year, 16-0. Mm-hmm. Another thing that hasn't been done since that 2014-2015 season. So, you know, credit to the fans for all that great support, and, you know, the Hawkeyes for going undefeated at home. That's a long schedule to go through and never lose.
Look forward to following this team on the weekend and perhaps beyond. Again, Iowa State could reach the same height tonight against Missouri State, 8 o'clock on 1600 AM. I was in Bettendorf yesterday visiting my daughter and her family. decided to go to a restaurant to catch the early parts of the Iowa-Tennessee game. And I'm telling you, the first half was crickets. The first half was crickets in that restaurant. Many people there to watch the Iowa game and partake. But I wonder whether it was worth watching the second half. And then
exactly. Right there with you.
Wow. It was... The comeback is hard to describe because, number one, you didn't anticipate it. You anticipated Iowa not quitting. But number two, you didn't expect Iowa to extend this game into overtime. And then once overtime hit, Tennessee made its first four shots, and it was essentially over.
Yeah, and, you know, it, like you said, the comeback is, you know, you can't really put it into words. The comeback was just bizarre. You know, you got to give a lot of credit to Iowa defensively. You know, they were physical. They had a fire that you don't always see. You know, the defense was all over the place. They did a really good job in that second half, but that is a really, really good Tennessee team. And as soon as, you know, Iowa gets that rebound with about 2.5 seconds left in regulation, they're not able to get the timeout. And it played out like this, but in that moment, I was kind of worried because for that entire second half, it was kind of like Tennessee was just kind of in a daze. Didn't really know what to do, didn't know how to stop what was happening. But then when Iowa, you know, doesn't finish it off in regulation, they allow the Vols to kind of go back to the sideline, regroup a little bit. Iowa still could have won, but it just really would have been a lot easier if they didn't allow the Vols that 5 minutes or so to regroup.
I spent a lot of time on Twitter afterwards and Facebook, and the overwhelming majority of people said something like, really proud of this team.
Yeah.
There was very little criticism that I saw. But I was talking to my son-in-law, and he said, you know, it must take a really, really good coach to be down 21 at halftime and devise a plan and motivate these guys to get back into the game and do what Iowa did in the second half. And I said, hey, listen, I'm on the radio every day, 5 days a week. I can tell you, there's a segment of fans out there will tell you the same coach was on the sidelines in the first half.
That is true. The counterpoint that you ended on there is true. It was the same coach. And, you know, for most of this season, there's been, you know, a lot of imperfections. We've spent a lot of time talking about them. And in the first half, we saw all of them. But then, like you said, my biggest takeaway is that, you know, this isn't a perfect team. And like I just said, we saw that in the first half. But you have to give all the credit in the world to Fran McCaffrey. You know, I've been eager to criticize him throughout the year for a lot of different things. You have to give him credit for rallying those troops. You know, your season's about to end. You're up, really up against it, against a really good Tennessee team. And you're down, you know, 21 at half, 25 at one point.
Could have just went to the bus.
Yeah, you actually, it was just a throw-aside comment for you, but you said, we anticipated Iowa not quitting. I didn't anticipate that. You know, down 20 against that team, you know, I was right there with you. I didn't know if the second half was going to be worth watching because I didn't know how bad it was going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes in the total opposite direction. That was a performance that I really would not have expected based on, you know, my own observations and a lot of the things that I said throughout the season. They proved me really wrong in that second half.
Give us your impressions, 319-366-1600 on that game yesterday. And it wasn't a scientific look at things, but I found more than one comment that went along the lines of this. Iowa didn't quit, and that's all you really want out of your team.
That's all you can ask.
And I found that very interesting because it would have been very easy to criticize what was going on in that first half when Iowa got down as many as 25 points with 4 minutes left in the first half and down 21 at the half and then outscoring Tennessee by 21 in the second half to take it to overtime. And it was a very emotional game. You could see it on TV. You could hear it on the radio. You could hear, you know, get that sense in reading stories. It was Nicholas Bear's last game as a Hawkeye. He's tweeted out a couple, three different times about how he's appreciated his career at the University of Iowa. Jordan Bohannon said, man, he's a friend for life. And he's just one of those unique players that only comes down the pike and, you know, every so often. So let's get to the phone lines. Kathy and Marion wants to weigh in. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. What do you got?
Well, first of all, great job by the players. I mean, talk about heart. But I'm not so sure I would give Fran McCaffrey so much of that credit. I give it to the players. And second of all, could have never got to overtime. That call against Bohannon on that three-point shot, there was no way that that was a foul.
No,
no
it wasn't.
And I want to win, but I want to win straight up. So that was a five-point swing because Tennessee was on a breakaway for an easy dunk, and they called that back and gave Bohannon three shots. And of course, Jabo's never going to miss a free throw, so that was a five-point swing. Should have never got to overtime. But again, give all the credit in the world to the players.
That's really a good objective view on Bohannon because I thought it was kind of a ticky-tack foul as well. I think the Tennessee player did graze Bohannon's hand, but in that situation, I really don't think that you're going to call that foul most of the time. But that's a pretty objective a viewpoint from Kathy on her team. On the text line, 83-86, they said the last year's team went to be able to do this. They didn't have Joey's camp. I'm not sure where that was going. But Dwayne at 1541, I think they met or exceeded expectations for this year. And the Tennessee game is exactly what they needed for motivation for next year if they get everyone back. John at 5692, do you think Iowa will make a deep run into the tournament next year if Cook and Moss stay at Iowa? 9406, I mean, there were numerous fouls that weren't fouls. Refs were bad. I'm not sure about that. But to John's comment, listen, when they're at their best, Cook and Moss, I enjoy watching them very much, but neither is ready for the next level. Period. Period.
Yep, I'm with you, and I kind of think, I hope, Cook, there was a stretch yesterday in that second half. Tyler Cook looked really good. Tyler Cook looked dominant. And he can take that, and I think he's gonna take that stretch, and he's going to think about it, because that's the way his season ended, was on that stretch of dominance. Iowa kind of got away from him a little bit, but Tyler Cook looked really good at times during that game. He can either take that and say, okay, teams are going to see that, I'm ready, let's go to the draft. Or if Tyler Cook were ready, like a guy ready to go to the draft right now, he would look like he looked during that small stretch against Tennessee. He would look like that all season long. And so I hope that he sees how well he played for that stretch against Tennessee, and he realized he needs to come back and do that for an entire year. Because then, if he does that, then you're talking about an NBA player. And then Isaiah Moss, I don't think he's ready to go yet either. I'm with you there.
Folks will tell you that, yeah, you're right. Cook had his moments, but he's the same guy that, you know, during the course of the season, he'll grab a rebound and take it up the court and cough it up or bang it off his knee. In this game, he missed three free throws.
Yeah.
One was a gift because the Tennessee player got in the lane on his second free throw and then turns it over another time down the court. So I'm going to ask you, and I'll ask our listeners, why is Tyler Cook so polarizing? I read and hear comments about, get him out of here. I will be better off without him.
And that
can't wait
wrong.
Till he leaves for the next level. Why is that?
That I don't know. If you're out there and you subscribe to that, go ahead and call in. I would honestly love to hear that. If you're telling us that Iowa's better without Tyler Cook, please call in and explain that line of thinking for us.
Ryan from Walford on the text line. Yes, a win would have been nice, but that comeback was enough to shoot a little life into this program going to next year. Losing by 30 would have given all the fans a reason to eye roll. The comeback now has me ready for October. Yeah, you have to have optimism because Bear is the only senior on this team. And Iowa returns a bunch and gets Cordell Pemsel back, gets other components that, you know, I had to sit out. Frederick and I forget the other big man's
Jack
name. Jack Nungy. And, you know, it has the makings of a very good basketball team. But this Big Ten, I'm telling you what, with a 20-game schedule, I think it made a difference this year on a lot of teams. And Iowa finished 10-10 in that regard, and which isn't a bad accounting, but is the way in which Iowa finished that season. And let's get to our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. It has to do with Iowa basketball. What will you remember most about this Iowa men's basketball team? We give you five choices. The undefeated non-conference schedule. Secondly, the Gary Dolphin drama. Third, another late season fade. Fourth, Fran McCaffrey's suspension. Or lastly, would it be yesterday's game? Go to KGYMradio.com and register your vote, and so much at the website that you're going to want to take a look at. If you're involved in the KGYM Bracket Challenge, we've got the updated standings right now. Taz 731 and Brent K are leading. They got 99.9% of their brackets correct. They are your leaders right now. And also go to our KGYM CBS2 Bracket Challenge, our March Mania bracket there. And check out the competition there at KGYM Bracket Challenge, brought to you by Imon Communications. The winner there will receive $500 courtesy of Imon Communications. And the media challenge with KGYM and CBS2, someone's going to win a Samsung 55-inch LED Smart HD TV valued at over $500. Let's go back to our phones, Kyle.
Hey, Wally, you got us?
Hey. Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good, man. You got a minute?
Yeah, make it quick. Congratulations for a pretty good season. Pretty exciting season. Great comeback yesterday. Got one question to ask Coach. Why did you not call timeout in overtime? They got three for 5 minutes. When they got up by five, not seven. Because they were totally out of whack. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thanks, Wally.
And it's a legitimate question, but oftentimes timeouts, you know, coaches prefer to play through situations and timeouts. What more is Fran McCaffrey going to say? You know, don't let him make baskets. And, you know, whether a timeout would have done any good there or not, who knows? But I think it's a fair question.
It's definitely a fair question. You can ask the question. I sort of touched on this a little bit earlier. I think once you got to that overtime period, once Iowa didn't finish it off in regulation, you know, like I said, Tennessee is a really, really good team. That Grant Williams kid, he came out, made a couple tough jumpers. You kind of got a taste of, you know, why Tennessee is the two seed that they are. We just saw that in overtime. So maybe he calls a timeout and, you know, maybe Iowa strings a couple more things together. But to me, it looked like once we got to that overtime period, Tennessee was, you know, woken up. Mm-hmm. Tennessee was ready. So once it got to overtime, I don't think that Iowa was ever going to win that game.
81-74 on the text line. Let's be honest. If Rick Barnes would have gone away from what was effective in the first half, parentheses pushing the pace, Iowa would have had trouble getting back into it. Taking the air out of the ball and running the clock in the second half could have cost them one of the dumbest coaching decisions in a long time. 25-40 in regards to Tyler Cook. I'm not anti-Cook, excuse me, but he is frustrating at times. First half, 0 points, didn't look good. Showed up in the second half, though.
And I think that's really the thing, is that he's frustrating at times. And the at times can be so frustrating for some people that's really the only thing that sticks with them. But Tyler Cook is, you know, you can say this about the whole team. you know, pretty much down to a player each individually. They're imperfect, but that doesn't mean that you're going to be better without them.
You went through that with Luka Garza.
Yeah.
You went through that at times with Ryan Kreener. Wieskamp had his moments as a freshman. Man, he knocked down a couple key free throws yesterday.
Yep.
But Cook just seems to be that polarizing figure on the team. And whether he comes back or not, totally up to him, but I think it'd be wise if he did.
You know, you just never know. You can't make decisions for these other people, especially when, you know, it's money involved and the thing you've been working your entire life for. But at this point in Tyler Cook's career, I think he still has enough improvement left to go that to enter the draft right now would still not be worth it financially, I don't think. Because he still has potential that he hasn't reached yet. I think he could very much be one of those guys who comes back for his senior year. You hear about him, like he does come back next March, and you're like, this guy's been around, great talent, great athlete, and this is his senior year. You know, he's really figured some things out. Tyler Cook feels like that kind of guy to me. If he can buy into that, and because it felt like last summer he was already very eager to get to the NBA, whether or not he was ready. I mean, credit to him for coming back, but it's obvious that that's what he wants to do. I just hope that he doesn't rush it, because I think next year could be extremely good for him and the Hawkeye team in general.
In my view, he will not take the next step until he can make that 10 to 15 foot jumper with any range, any measure of consistency.
Yep.
My humble opinion. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you today on the Gym Class. We'll be followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn from 4 to 7. We're going to be joined by Michael Oskazet, sports columnist, here in just a moment. But a reminder that the Gym Class is sponsored today and every day by Third Base. Like KGYM, a locally owned and operated business, great for a quick lunch, catch a game after work, or bring the family in for an affordable and delicious meal. Third Base, located conveniently on the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids. And we thank Third Base Brewery today and every day. We'll get to a break and we'll have more in the Gym Class in a minute.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at lindertire.com.
In sports, as in life, the best rise to the top. That's how college brackets work, and it's how Third Base Brewery has curated their in-house brews for the past 20 years. Only the greatest survive. Maybe that's why friends come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in and watch the madness unfold at Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
20 professionals speaking 9 different languages, serving over 7,000 clients worldwide. That's Community CPA, a global firm located in Coralville and Des Moines. As trusted advisors in tax and accounting, they make even the most foreign and complicated tax matters simple. Trust them with your personal and C-Corp tax filings before April 15th. Call Community CPA in Coralville now, 319-208-3712, to improve the quality of your tax preparation. 319-208-3712. Community.
At Menards, you can save big on the finishing touches of each project because nobody beats our prices. Protect wood surfaces with a great selection of Minwax clear protective finishes. They offer superior durability and long-lasting beauty. Choose from Minwax Fast Drying, Polycrylic, Helmsman, and Wipe-On Polyurethane. Right now, save $4 per quart. Stop in and save through April 6th during Menards Construction Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
Sunshine, grass, beer,
baseball.
You call that a strike?
Best seats ever.
Best seats ever.
Home run, high five.
Hot dogs.
Happy family.
Happy, happy family.
Twins tickets.
Twins tickets.
That's hit a long way.
Twins tickets. Get them now. TwinsBaseball.com.
We'll
Welcome back to the Gym Class. 3:28 on this beautiful sunny Monday in Southwest Cedar Rapids. Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann with you today. Scott Unash, our leader, will be back on Wednesday. Hopefully he enjoys a couple days of rest. We're going to get into the NCAA tournament as a whole, but since you out there have taken time to comment on the text line, the Tyler Cook discussion has elicited some comments that I want to get to, and then we'll perhaps talk more NCAA tournament. First of all, Bam Bam, on the game in general, it's very strange that normally I'd be disappointed by a loss, but after the game yesterday, I felt satisfied. 15:41, they want Tyler Cook gone for the same reason they want Ferentz out. The false belief that there is someone better out there to replace them. 0189, Cook, Kreener, and Garza all make the same mistakes. They receive a pass from the guards, start dribbling backwards to the basket, and then the opposing guards turn around and slap the ball out of their hands to create a turnover. Pass needs to be high at their face, catch, turn, and shoot. The opposing guards have been slapping the ball out of their hands for the last month. 86-36, I think Cook is polarizing while he leads the team in scoring over Luka Garza by about a point and a half a game. He commits twice as many turnovers as Garza does and leads the team in turnovers by a wide margin. He's great when he's great, but he's bad when he's bad, and the latter is too often. 16:86, Cook can't shoot a lick. He turns it over, either is out of control or gets stripped. Lastly, he's terrible lazy on rebounding. He should average 12 boards a game with that jumping ability. Finally, 31:48, entered the draft. He doesn't have a chance to get drafted.
I thought Tyler Cook looked really good yesterday at times. I just want to remind everybody of that real quick. But no, like the text line has shown us here, he is an imperfect player. I'm gonna duck out, get a phone call real quick, Mark.
Sounds good. A couple other comments that I received on a personal level is, you know, Tom Izzo was criticized in the Michigan State game for going after one of his players on the sideline, and you know, the comments, well, that's just Izzo's passion. But what happens when Fran McCaffrey does it? He's often criticized for losing his mind. What makes it so much different? Well, perhaps the national championships, the Big Ten championships. I'm not sure. Who do we have on the phone line there, Kyle?
This is Patty. Wants to get back to the women's team for just a second here.
Great, Patty. Thank you. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Just want to say that I've been a women's basketball season ticket holder for 35 years.
Mm.
And so we've seen a lot of ups and downs. We started getting tickets in Vivian Strier's first season here. But this team this year is so unified. They are so strong and so supportive of each other. And I think that's one of the reasons that they are so successful. Lisa has done a great job bringing in these type of players.
I agree with you totally, Patty, and we've had Lisa Bluder on the show multiple times in addition to Jan Jensen, and I asked Lisa the last time she was on about cultivating that chemistry, and she said that she and her staff try to do that every year, but not every group will buy in, and this group has totally bought in, and you can see it on the court. Every trip up and down the court, during the game, after the game, before games, this is a team that is very united, cares about one another, and that, as we've seen, can go a long ways for a basketball team.
Yeah, and she's right. We've talked about it before, and we've had her on the show, so we all know Lisa Bluder is a genuinely good lady. You know, I think so often in college sports, there's a lot of the coaches who get big names because they achieve such, you know, they achieve success. And so then everybody just kind of likes them. And then it kind of, you know, overflows into you, you know, creating this idea that, oh, I like them as a coach, so I like them as a person, too. You don't really know who they are, but that's not the case with Lisa Bluter. Just a great, great lady.
1545 on the women's game. It wasn't just the 12,000-plus fans at Carver yesterday. The electricity and energy of the crowd rivaled any men's game I've ever been present for. And that kind of showed through on TV in my mind. How's your bracket doing?
It's good, not great, because this is a little bit my formula every year, where when you get down to it, you know, you're Elite Eight, you're Final Four, you're mostly going to have chalk, but you've got to find a way to sprinkle some upsets in. And so I got Oregon, you know, I got UC Irvine, but at the same time, I took Belmont to my Sweet 16, Nevada into the Elite Eight, Iowa State in the Elite Eight. So, you know, I've still got my Final Four teams, but I've missed on enough upsets that I just kind of chose to pick them, because you've got to have some. I've missed on enough that my bracket's not great anymore.
I happen to be doing particularly good. I see I'm in second in our office pool to Claire from the Morning Scramble on Z102.9.
Really?
Claire, very sharp.
She stopped,
basketball mind.
She stopped into the sports office after she had filled out her bracket, and she did not exude confidence, I'll say.
But you know what? I'm going to make a couple comments, and we're going to bring in Mike Alas. I'm reminded every year, I'm not a basketball junkie. I watch plenty of basketball, Big Ten, Big 12, Missouri Valley, the important games, whatnot. I call it my homework, but I don't watch, tons of basketball games. But I'm reminded each and every year, like this year, there's a lot of good teams and a lot of good players all around this country. Ja Morant, are you kidding me, from Murray State?
Oh, man.
Taco Fall, 7'6", out of Central Florida. You're going to see him in the NBA.
Yep, for about 10 minutes a game.
I mean, again, there's good players all around this country. It's amazing.
Yeah, and basketball really is just kind of, there's something about basketball where, you know, I heard it talked about when Steph Curry was really becoming a superstar. There's something about the brand of basketball that Steph Curry promotes. And he's such an attractive superstar because anybody can shoot. You know, you don't have to be big to be good at basketball in that way. You don't have to be a great athlete to be good at basketball in that way. And you kind of see that when you get to March, because, you know, you've got your Wofford. You know, where the heck is Wofford?
North Carolina, I think.
But they've
South
got
Carolina,
a bunch
like
of
that,
kids.
Yeah.
Got a bunch of kids who can just shoot the basketball, and you know, they can compete with some really good teams. That, to me, is the beauty of March.
I'm going to say one last thing, and a lot of brackets would have gotten busted had Central Florida pulled off that, two shots, point blank,
man,
to beat Duke. But I'm telling you what, Barrett pushed off on that missed Williamson free throw to get the rebound and the winning basket.
Would you have actually wanted Duke to lose that game, though?
Is that
good for the March product?
I think it would have been fun to follow Central Florida going forward.
Especially with Taco Fall.
Yeah. Wofford in South Carolina, by the way. Let's take a break. We'll bring in Michael Oss in a minute.
And now, a quick comparison from Grasshopper. When you're always on the go, what would you prefer? An office phone system?
Hey, it's Rochelle. Sorry I missed you earlier. Had an errand to run, but I'm back in the office, so give me a call when you get this.
Or one that works on your cell phone. No hardware needed, courtesy of Grasshopper.
Oh, one sec, it's a business call. Hi, this is Rochelle with Way Forward Partners. How can I help?
There's no contest. Put your best voice forward with Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Try it free at grasshopper.com.
Motor Oil keeps your engine running at peak performance. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic Motor Oil for $28.95. Plus, get a $15 O'Reilly gift card and double O rewards points. Extend the life of your vehicle with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth, you talk faster when your phone has only 1% battery left.
Hey, hon, what's up?
Hey, sweetie, can you pick up Kitty Litter Fabric Softener? Oh, the lemony fresh kind. And French Vanilla Non-Dairy Creamer on your way home from work.
What?
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
Why are you talking like that?
Gotta go. I'm taking Kevin to Taekwondo and I only have a...
Honey? Hello?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Uber has been doing a ton of great things this last year, and Uber Rewards is going to make you love Uber even more. With Uber Rewards, you'll get rewarded for things you're already doing. Every eligible dollar you spend on rides and Uber Eats earns you points that unlock amazing benefits, like Uber Cash, complimentary surprise upgrades, flexible cancellations, and so much more. Your life is about to get more rewarding thanks to Uber. Get all the info and terms at uber.com/rewards. That's uber.com/rewards.
Welcome back to the gym class. We'll give you a chance to win a $30 gift card to Hudson's Southside Tap in Iowa City, courtesy of Community Crisis Services and Food Bank at the end of the program. I don't want to forget to mention and congratulations to the Kirkwood men's basketball team, which won the Division II National Championship. I think we're efforting Brian Peterson, the head coach, to appear this week. And to NCAA wrestling individual champions Spencer Lee of Iowa and Drew Foster of Northern Iowa. Foster, a great story, never won a high school state championship and ends up winning an NCAA title. And we'll talk more wrestling on Wednesday with our friend Mark Ironside. Right now, another friend of ours, Michael Oss. I'd like to bring him in and chat for a little bit. Hello, Mike.
Hey, that Foster story is one of the best stories in the last 10 years in this state. I'm curious to read more about it. I haven't really had the chance yet.
Yeah, I agree with you, and that's what makes sports in general and wrestling in particular really interesting. And speaking of interesting,
what was he seeded?
Six or worse, I think, Mike.
That's fantastic.
Well, Miles Martin in that bracket and defending national champion, he gets beat in the semis, and all of a sudden Drew Foster finds himself in the championship and wins it.
Yeah, oh, that's tremendous.
Yesterday in Columbus, Iowa, Tennessee, I couldn't help but think in the 87 Iowa basketball team up 18 against UNLV at halftime, and I recall everybody wanting to make Final Four reservations among the Iowa media. What were you thinking at halftime with Iowa down 21? Couldn't get on the road soon enough?
I was thinking that nobody was going to read the story, and I might as well write fast and leave.
Yeah. And then what happened?
Well, I'm not sure yet. I mean, I was there. But, well, what happened is just what happens in sports. First of all, you've got to start that second half well. And Tyler Cook, who was so god-awful in the first half, just decided, I'm just going to play. And he peels off 9 points quickly, and it just seemed to ignite something within the whole team, and you just got that sense that they were going to at least be competitive, but I still wasn't convinced. They cut it to 9, it gets shot back up to 13, and I'm thinking, well, this is just carrot on a string stuff. But it was quite the opposite. It was one of those deals where Iowa's players had that look in their eyes again, the same look they had in the second half against Cincinnati. And the rest is history, other than the fact that they didn't win the game.
Was there a look in the eyes of Tennessee players as well, like we can't get this game over soon enough?
It seemed like after halftime that they just never really got reignited. And I think that happens in sports too, especially in a game like basketball where you're in such a flow, but once it stops, it's like the spigot, is shut off altogether. And Iowa started, the defense was so much more, everything was dialed up, but it all started with defense. And they got Schofield in foul trouble, and that was big. But Cook got on track, and it seemed like pretty soon Moss, Bohannon, and everybody had the eye of the tiger, confidence in their shots. They shot free throws beautifully. I think they were 17 of 18 in the second half. And they just had that feeling that you get sometimes in sports that, by God, this is doable. But you know what? They didn't ever have a chance to take the lead, I don't believe, in the second half. And had they gotten that lead, I think they would have won the game. But when they got into overtime, and I think that Tennessee had a chance to regroup, and I think Iowa was maybe mentally exhausted, like we did so much and got so far, and it just wasn't enough left.
It was an 83-77 Tennessee victory over Iowa in overtime yesterday in Columbus. Mike Halas, Gazette sports columnist and Iowa beat writer, joining us on the Gym Class. Mike,
no.
Take us where we couldn't go, our listeners, ourselves, and that was the post-game. What you saw, we saw on the court tremendous emotion after the final buzzer sounded, but we've read and heard many things from many players afterward. What was that like?
Well, I've been in a lot of losing locker rooms at NCAA tournaments, and usually what you see are a lot of tears. Players who unabashedly are just emotionally, you know, they're not hiding it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is everything for them, and the realization that it's over is deflating, especially in a game like that when you were so close and yet it gets, you know, you walk away without it. By the time the cooling off period ends, I believe it was 10 minutes or so, maybe 15, it seemed like the Hawkeye players had gotten that out of their system, and they were talkative and reflective. And my sense of it was that they were somber, and yet, I don't want to say satisfied, but not gutted. It was as if they felt like, well, you know what? We can walk out of here with heads high. We did do something special here. We just didn't win the game.
What are you going to remember about this Iowa season? Because there's a lot of dynamics to it. We had the late season fade. We had the Fran suspension. We had a great non-conference season. We had the Dolph drama. And then there was yesterday's game.
Yeah. I guess the word I would use is kooky. I mean, there were the head coach and the play-by-play guy both got suspended. The play-by-play guy got suspended twice. They won games in kooky manner. They got blown out four times in the last six games of the regular season, or the regular season in Big Ten tournament. They gave Michigan its worst beating of the season. And, you know, and then in the NCAA tournament, they fall behind 13 to Cincinnati and win. They fall behind 25 to Tennessee and tie. So it was kooky.
Yeah, it was kooky. That's a good word for it. Lastly, in Iowa, Mike, I wanted to. We brought up Tyler Cook, and in my opinion, the most polarizing player on the Iowa basketball team, and elicited some comments on the text line, and still getting some. But why is that so?
You want me to be brutally honest?
Yes.
I don't think I will. He's not a perfect player. And if anybody's watched Iowa basketball for 33 games, they'd have to recognize that nobody on that team is.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a player that without, they'd be a worse team. And that if Tyler Cook were a free agent, 13 other Big Ten players would snap him up in a heartbeat and put him to use. So if people out there don't want to accept that or believe that, you know, that's on them. But Iowa will be a better team if he comes back next year. Now, he's like, I'll tell you what, I see a lot of players. I haven't seen very many in the Big Ten or in other conferences who go through 33 games without some ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
Very few. We know who they are. They're first-team All-Americans. They're first-team All-Big Ten players. And even those guys have their rough patches. But Cook's a bona fide good player. This team simply didn't have Big Ten championship talent. It doesn't have Final Four talent. And it hasn't had NBA talent for a long time, a long, long time. So that's the nature of the program. This is a second-round NCAA tournament program until further notice. And if you want to blame that on the players, that's pretty stupid, but go ahead.
Text line says, thank you, Michael Oss, sir. I'm not sure in regards to what, but I think you deserve to hear that, Mike. I made a comment. I'm reminded every year, I don't watch a ton of basketball, but damn, there are good teams and good players everywhere.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, there are 350 million people that live in this country, and there are a lot of colleges and a lot of college basketball teams, and it's a great game. I mean, it's my favorite game. And if I had more height, speed, shooting ability, quickness, and so forth, would have been the game I would have chosen to try and pursue. But yes, it's we get locked in to look. You look at the NCAA tournament, and it's all power schools. But you can win at Liberty and Wofford and Gonzaga and Northern Iowa and Drake. That's what I like about it, is it doesn't take 63 players like football. It takes 7-8 players, a good coach, and the right chemistry.
Yeah, every time I see a player like Josh.
I just got home. I'm sorry, Mark. I just got home, so this is going to be a little noisy. I'm unpacking.
No. If I hear bottles clanging, I'd be worried. But
well, there were actually, but they had coffee in them.
Okay, yeah. Every time I see a Ja Morant or a Taco Fall, I'm saying, how do those kids end up at Murray State and Central Florida, respectively, and not Duke or North Carolina? That's how deep the talent is.
Well, yeah, and not everybody develops at the same time. I mean, McDonald's All-Americans don't go to Wofford or Central Florida.
Yeah.
But some players become that. I mean, Drake several years ago had five guys who seemed to all develop in their junior and senior years. They win the Missouri Valley, go to the NCAA tournament. It's nice. It keeps hope eternal for everybody, I think.
Lastly, Mike, we'll let you go and unpack, but it seems like a couple weeks ago that Iowa State lost its opening round game in the tournament to Ohio State. And in my opinion, the Buckeyes just dictated the pace of that game.
Yeah, it wasn't very pleasant to watch if you were a Cyclone fan, because Iowa State never played its game. And I can't say I was surprised, because that's Ohio State with several days to scout Iowa State, figured out how to play that. Chris Holtman's a great coach. And Caleb Wesson was healthy and a bad matchup for Iowa State, and that's what got him beat.
Excellent, Mike. We'll let you go and get back to a semblance of a normal life. And we really appreciate your insights this year during the basketball season and look forward to more discussion down the road, okay?
All right. See you.
Michael Oss, Gazette sports columnist, joining us on the Gym Class. He was in Columbus for that game yesterday between Iowa and Tennessee and for the first round game against Cincinnati. Some great comments there. So. We're going to go to a break, and as we do, we're going to give you a chance to win a $30 gift card to Hudson's Southside Tap, Highway 1 West in Iowa City, courtesy of Community Crisis Services and Food Bank. It's local and there to help support everyone in the community. Feeding those in need in only one part of what Community Crisis Services and Food Bank offers. They are ready to listen 7 days a week. It's formerly the Crisis Center. So right now, $30 gift card to Hudson Southside Tap. Caller 4. You'll win that $30 gift card.
Hi there. I'm here for your basement.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on short notice.
Yeah, what seems to be the problem?
It's my basement. It's bad.
Sure, let's take a look.
No, you don't understand. It's gotten a little out of hand. A pipe leaked in the ceiling and it never quit.
Well, let's assess the damage.
Okay.
Hi there.
Who's this?
I told you it was bad.
You two look like you could use ponchos.
The other day it was just a leak, and then this happened.
You know where the shutoff valve is?
Ah, feel that breeze.
I think it's over by that dinghy.
A plumber, are you? Say, I could use a guy like you. Have any experience on boats?
As a matter of fact, I do. My father was a lobster fisherman up in Nova Scotia for many years.
You don't say.
Yeah, I really only took this plumbing gig to earn a little extra scratch, but really...
Not again.
Home in need of repair? Don't drown in debt. Get a loan. Go to Paco. DePaco Community Credit Union. With low rates and local service, getting money has never been easier. Apply now at DePaco.com.
DePaco Community Credit Union. Equal opportunity lender.
Prospect Meadows opens this May in the Corridor. This brand new baseball and softball complex will provide local kids with new opportunities, host teams from around the Midwest, and offer real economic impact locally. It also features the only special needs field in our area. Be part of Prospect Meadows. For a limited time only, they're offering custom inscribed baseballs to be featured on their Rotary Donor Wall at the main entrance. Reserve yours this week at prospectmeadows.com. Proceeds from the donor wall will help complete this first-class complex and give all children a place to play.
As a business person, you know that security is always a concern, but now it can be easily integrated into your computer network. Network Computer Solutions now offers turnkey security systems designed and built for business. From cameras and entry systems to secure video storage, NCS makes it easy for you to keep an eye on your business. NCS knows business networks, and they know how to utilize networks to keep your business safe. Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
The Leaderboard is a brand new sports bar in North Liberty with a passion for golf. Tee up in one of their five PGA Indoors golf simulators featuring over 40 different courses. Watch sports year-round on the Leaderboard's 24K TVs. Play mini-golf, skee-ball, darts, pool, pinball, and classic arcade games and enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 too. Set up your tee time by calling 319-289-0152. The Leaderboard, 680 Mead Drive, corner of West Penn and 965 in North Liberty, where your next shot is your best shot.
Today and every Monday, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is presented by Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Tune in from 4 to 7 right here on KGYM. Randy's Flooring, local flooring experts by design.
Welcome back to the gym class. Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann with you for the next couple of minutes as we wrap up another edition of the gym class. Scott Unas will return on Wednesdays. Kyle, who's our winner of the $30 gift card to Hudson's in Iowa City?
That was to Reese in Blairstown.
Excellent.
Haven't had a winner from Blairstown in a while.
I know Blairstown well. Fine community. Looking forward to more NCAA tournament action tonight. Women's side, the NCAA second round, Iowa State, Missouri State at 8 o'clock, 1600 a.m. this evening. The FMs will have ESPN programming. Last has very excited earlier today to see that NFL Thursday night opener,
oh,
Packers at the Bears. Marty, really looking forward to that.
I'm excited, too. And oddly, I mean, obviously I'm excited for the Bears. As a Bears fan, and the Bears having had a good year last year, this is going to sound crazy. I'm actually really excited to see what the Packers look like next season. It sounds like they're going to be trying to go out of their way to get some offensive weapons this year, especially in the draft. I've seen some very spicy picks. And I just think if Aaron Rodgers could, you know, ever get a good collection of weapons on that team, things would be really, really fun, even as a guy who doesn't really like the Packers. And, you know, I'm just hoping that they can do a little bit of that this year.
That's ways up. It's something to look forward to. Poll question again, KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. What will you remember most about this Iowa men's basketball season? An undefeated non-conference schedule, Gary Dolphin drama, another late-season fade, Fran McCaffrey suspension, or yesterday's game. Thanks to Gazette sports columnist Mike Alas for joining us, and hopefully stay tuned for the next 3 hours. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie.